Governments are currently pumping a lot of money into the economy amid panics on the stock markets. I've seen a lot of people in a lot of places suggest that they are simply printing this money. But this has not quite been how governments have been raising money in recent years. Instead, they've been issuing bonds. In this video, I'm going to explain how this process works exactly. What is a government bond? Traditionally, they work like this. The government needs to raise money for some project, let's say building a bridge or funding a war in Ireland, and so asks investors for a loan. This is a fixed-term agreement for the government to pay back the money in a certain amount of time, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and so on, plus an agreed annual rate of interest. So let's pretend it was £1,000 over 5 years at 3% interest. I'd get my £1,000 back in 5 years' time, plus £30 a year, giving me a grand return of £1,150. Why would I do this? Well, traditionally, it's been a hedge against inflation, much like gold has been seen. For example, the annual inflation rate in the UK is 2.55%. So if I just put this £1,000 in the bank, I would have lost a certain amount of money. It would only be worth £872 in 5 years' time. So by investing in the bond, the money has maintained its value and perhaps even made a little bit more on top of that. And this has always been viewed as a very safe investment because the UK government is not going to welch on its agreement, and it's practically unthinkable for an advanced economy like the UK to go bankrupt. So it's an extremely low-risk investment in exchange for putting your money into a safe form. Now, to make matters more confusing, in the real world, these fixed-term agreements come with a variety of different names. In the UK, they're also known as gilts. In America, they are known as US Treasury securities, which are also called bills, bonds, or notes, depending on the time frame and the specifics of the agreement. But to keep things very simple, in this video, I'm just going to call all such investments government bonds as a generic name. Now, since the 2008 financial crisis, whenever they needed more money, rather than simply printing it, which causes fairly rapid inflation, instead, governments have issued bonds. Here, investment banks and asset management firms, acting on behalf of their clients, which very likely includes you, by the way, if you have a pension, buy bonds in exchange for cash. The government then takes this money and does one of two things with it. Either, number one, it uses it to pay its own employees, or number two, it hands it to the central bank, who in turn parcel it out to all the private banks to issue as loan money. Actually, in reality, the money starts with the central bank and never actually makes it to the government in order to be handed back to them. So, actually, we can turn this arrow around. But anyway, these are the two mechanisms by which the government can increase the total money in circulation in the real economy. But because the money was taken from banks and investment management firms in the first place, it has, technically speaking, not increased the total money supply. All that has happened is that we have taken the money from the balance sheets of financial firms and reallocated it to the real economy. That's you and me getting paid and buying stuff in the shops. Now, this will result in inflation, of course, and there will still be Cantillon effects whereby the first receivers of the money benefit to the detriment of those who act last, typically savers. But these inflationary effects are suppressed by the fact that the money has not simply been printed out of thin air. However, this strategy has started to see some limits. For example, remember I talked about buying a 5-year bond with 3% interest as a hedge against inflation? Well, in the real world, a 5-year UK bond currently yields only 0.52%. My £1,000 bond would earn me only £5.20 a year, giving me a grand total of £1,026 in 5 years' time. So with inflation at 2.5%, this is only very marginally better than just sticking the money in the bank, and worse than most ISA savings accounts. To make matters even worse, at the moment, many other government bonds are negative. For example, a 5-year German government bond is currently at minus 0.66%, which means for my £1,000, I'd actually lose £6.60 every year, giving me a yield of minus £33. In other words, investing in this bond is actively worse than inflation. So how can this possibly be, and why, given such conditions, would anyone ever buy these bonds? They're not doing the one thing they were meant to do for the traditional investor, namely hedging against inflation. Well, the answer lies in a set of regulations brought in after 2008, known as Basel III. Now, back when I'd spend all day talking to people in investment banks and wealth management firms, back in 2010 when it was my job, this was all anyone was talking about all day, every day. The specific part that concerns us is something called HQLA, or High Quality Liquidity Assets. This is effectively a mandate for financial firms to keep their assets in a certain configuration. The thinking was that after 2008, they don't want a situation where too many of the assets of these firms are high risk or low quality, like those notorious toxic debt bundles that you heard so much about. Now, there's a lot of information here, and I will not bore you by getting into the weeds. But the heart of the mandate is that certain assets are capped. Gold, for example, is counted as a level 2B asset, which are capped at 15% of the bank's total stock. Banks essentially have a quota which says that no more than 15% of their assets can be of this type. And then within that, the portfolio has to be diverse. So they could not hold 100% of their level 2B allocation as gold. It would have to be mixed in with whatever else counts as 2B. In any case, while many assets are capped in this way, level 1 assets are entirely uncapped. What counts as level 1? Well, basically only two types of asset, cash or bonds of various kinds. And like I said, within the level, there is a mandate for the portfolio to be mixed. So financial firms are basically required by law to hold various kinds of government bonds. So what happens is that because these financial firms max out on their allowances at level 2B, level 2A, and so on, they are left with no choice but to hold a huge amount of government bonds. You might call it a captive market, whereby governments effectively force the financial sector to buy their bonds. Hence, these very low interest rates, or even negative interest rates. So here you can see the balance sheet of Goldman Sachs from 3 months of 2017. And because all of the regulatory checks they have to comply with these days, they have to hold around $160 billion in either cash or bonds. And although they don't break down their level one assets, you can be sure that a high proportion of that value will be what is effectively US government debt. And here is where things get wild, because on top of forcing financial firms to buy their bonds, governments have another trick up their sleeve, the central bank. The central bank can, and also does, buy bonds themselves. For example, this is the total number of US government bonds held by the Federal Reserve. Don't worry, it's only about $2.4 trillion. When central banks do this, their purchases are known as repos. And really, this is where money is printed out of thin air. But typically, the injection of cash is not pushed out into the real economy, but remains somewhat hidden, which is to say, locked up in the asset portfolio of, for example, a pension fund, just as cash and not as a bond. Again, this will obviously have an inflationary effect, but now it's delayed until such time as the money is paid out to the individual pension holder. What happens to the bonds? Do governments still pay interest due on them, or the final principal payments to the central banks? Well, all this is somewhat mysterious, and as far as I can see, it all disappears into voodoo. To make matters even more confusing, with the recent coronavirus measures, central banks have started buying up other assets from financial firms, not just their government bonds, but also their corporate bonds, their stocks, their shares, for example, whatever else that is currently losing value on the market. Essentially, the central banks are buying up to generate all of this money that you're seeing. The thinking here is that perhaps these assets will regain value in time, so the central bank, which has a longer time horizon, might recover that money, whereas the various financial firms and the real economy beyond that need liquid assets to stay afloat right now. So it's a time preference thing. The central bank has a longer time horizon and a lower time preference than basically anybody else in the economy, so they can, you know, buy up all of these assets that are currently rubbish, but may in time regain their value. Well, anyway, that's the theory. How all this plays out in practice remains to be seen. But for now, everyone, keep calm and stay safe. Now get out.